Are you a busy woman who at times struggles with reducing your daily stress? Do you know that you need to slow down but do not know how? If you're looking at reducing your daily stress, you're in the right place. My name is Denise Eckert and I welcome you to the Calm Your Daily Stress podcast. I just love interviewing guests so they can share their stress-reducing tips and techniques with you. Now, if you find this podcast helpful, please share it with someone who struggles with stress. Because lowering our stress will make us a better person, a happier partner, mom, friend, neighbor, etc. And the best part is happiness is contagious. Enjoy this episode. It's Denise Eckert. I love coming on here and sharing different ideas and techniques to help you lower your stress. And today I've got something different. It's Ana Lopez, and she's a proud Latina sexologist, podcast host, certified sex and life coach, and the owner of Sex in Spanglish. She teaches women to have mind-blowing sex on demand, utilizing her background in therapy, cutting-edge research, coaching, her coaching techniques to aid women in getting to the root of their sexual frustrations while teaching them to utilize the only pleasure tour they'll ever need is the mind. So welcome, Ana.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Now, what inspired you to go down the road of sex therapy?
Yeah, so it's so funny because I'm like, as far back as I can remember, I was like, oh, I want to be a sex ed teacher. I must have like, I don't know, seen it on TV or something. My brother's also 8 years older than me, so I was probably eavesdropping. But I always, I don't know why, being a sex ed teacher sounded really cool. And so I was like, oh, yeah, that's something that I'm going to do. And then, of course, there's not really a direct path to be a sex ed teacher. So as I was going into high school, I was just like, oh, yeah, like, I don't know, I'll become a lawyer or something. And I actually, when I went into college, I started out doing forensics. And I was like, science is not my jam, not a fan. So I eventually switched over to psychology. And early on in my psychology career, like in undergrad, I met a teacher who was teaching human sexualities education. She was like, you know, you could be a sex therapist. And I was like, mind blown. So I started doing all this research into like what that would look like, what that would mean, and like all the things. So I decided to change paths. And so when I went into my master's program, I decided to go into social work because I wanted to be a licensed clinical social worker and become a sex therapist. So that's the graduate school I went to. So in my mind, okay, I'm going to graduate. I'm going to become a sex therapist. And I got introduced to coaching while I was in my grad program. And I was like, oh, this is what I want to do. I don't want to do therapy. There's like some overlap in the two. And I was really drawn to the coaching aspect versus like the diagnosing and all of that. And so I completed my degree and I was like, I'm just going to be a sex coach. And then I always say that I got bored during the pandemic and opened a business. And so here I am like 4 years later being a sex coach.
Awesome. That's great. Yeah. So I know when I feel stressed, I feel fatigued, I feel tired, I don't have any energy, and I have this thing, my mindset is, I don't have time. So how does stress impact our sex lives that you've seen with clients?
Yeah, in so many ways. The two main ways that I see is there's people that will have sex when they are stressed, but they are not completely aroused. So it can be painful or uncomfortable, or they're just having sex and they're like, this is fine, but they're not really enjoying themselves. Or a lot of times they don't reach climax, so they don't orgasm. There's another subset of people that they're just like, I'm not interested whatsoever. Like, you could offer it to me, all the things that I want on a platter, and I would not take it. My mind is not anywhere near that. And for some people, both of those scenarios happen. And so it kind of depends on the person. And oftentimes it kind of depends on the stress and how you relate to stress. But those are like the two main ways that I see it happening for individuals.
Now, what can we do when we are feeling stressed? What can we do to introduce more sex into our lives? Because yeah. I know it's so good for us, but it's getting to that point where, okay, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because sex can actually help reduce your stress levels And for a lot of people, sex is actually a stress inducer, right? So it causes more stress, but it's not sex in and of itself. It's not stressful. But there's a lot of people that have a lot of mind drama wrapped up into sex. Like, what do I look like? And am I having fun? And is my partner having fun? And that can be very stressful. So in terms of using sex as a stress reducer and getting to the point where you're actually having sex to be able to have that stress reducer, I highly recommend planning sex. And I know I always get the side eye when I offer this because they're like, well, it's supposed to be spontaneous and like all of this. And what I want to offer is that more often than not, sex is not spontaneous. If you go on a date with someone and a lot of us will anticipate having sex. We're just like, oh yeah, I might have sex later. Let me get ready, whatever that means for you, right? Or at least mentally prepare yourself to have sex. And so what happens is the body kind of takes that as like foreplay. And so it's like, oh, when the time comes, like I was expecting this. This is like quote unquote supposed to happen. So then you're almost already prepared. Whereas a lot of times when we are in long-term partnerships, we're like, oh, we're having sex again? Well, you don't do any foreplay. And it's like your whole body like shuts down. And what I like to offer is that foreplay can be had at any time. It doesn't have to involve your partner. You can think about the sex you had last Wednesday, right? Like that is foreplay. But the idea here is that planning sex allows for that time period for you to prepare yourself both mentally and physically for sex.
And you know what? There's a couple things that are similar to that. For instance, cooking. When you're cooking, you're getting your digestive system ready to eat, and you are introducing, okay, I'm going to be eating soon. And the same with that, oh, I'll be having sex soon. So, yeah, that's a different way of looking at things, isn't it?
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I just think about like when I think of a lemon, my mouth begins to water. The body likes preparation, and you don't need a physical act to actually prepare yourself.
Now, I had this therapist once years ago, and I don't know, I was having issues with my stepchildren. And she said to everybody, she's like, I don't know where this came up, but all of a sudden she said, well, orgasms are like your restart button. And she goes, it's just like flicking your computer off and on and restarting your body. And it was quite interesting. And for some reason, I don't know how many years ago that was said in front of me, but that still stuck with me. So what can an orgasm do if we are feeling stressed or frustrated or just not ourselves or exhausted or fatigued?
Yeah, I love that idea of a reset button. I never thought about it that way. But yeah, it's so true. So essentially what it does is it ends the stress cycle. So anyone that is in any type of stress, it doesn't really matter what, your body begins a stress cycle. And what happens is it needs to be completed. But oftentimes, especially in modern day society, we are not completing the stress cycle. So we're running around with chickens like our head cut off. We have high anxiety. My clients often talk about this as their baseline is low level anxiety. That's not normal. However, it is very common, especially in modern day society. And having an orgasm is a way to complete that cycle. Other ways to complete the cycle are, I love using like animals and kids as examples because they're perfect examples of this. You see dogs and cats doing zoomies, running around, and you're like, what the hell are they doing? Really, what they're doing is they're completing the stress cycle. They have some emotion that they're trying to work out of their body. My nephews run up and down the halls randomly for no apparent reason other than they just want to. Or you see kids like stimming at the store or like moving around in weird ways. And as adults, we say that that's inappropriate for us, right? But in reality, what they are doing, and I don't think that they consciously know that that's what they're doing, but really they're regulating their nervous system. They're completing that stress cycle. And an orgasm is a great way to do that. If you can actually get aroused enough to get there in the first place.
Now, can you dive deeper into what a stress cycle is?
Yeah, totally. So a stress cycle is essentially when your nervous system has become activated. So in, I was going to say in modern times, in back in the day, in caveman times, this could be a lioness chasing after you or something along those lines. Now it's your boss sent you an email. Your partner was like, hey, we needed to talk, or like something like that. And your nervous system becomes activated. You are in essentially fight or flight mode. And when that happens, it starts a cycle. Your body starts in this process of, okay, we're in danger. I always tell my clients like, oh, it's like the house is on fire. We need to do something. But the problem is that we never end that cycle. In an ideal world, the house is on fire. Let's put the fire out. Okay, we're good to go. We're all safe. Problem solved. But what happens is we're like, the house is on fire. Now the neighbor's house is on fire. Now our car's on fire. And like, there's all these fires and we're never putting the fires out. And so they're almost like these tiny emergencies that are continually happening in our bodies. So our bodies respond. And oftentimes we don't notice it happening because it happens so often or it's continually happening that when we do end up ending the stress cycle, we don't realize, oh, this is normal. We get more anxious, or we get nervous because we're like, oh, I'm supposed to be anxious, right? I mentioned that low-level anxiety. When we get ourselves out of that, it can feel weird, even though that's where our body is supposed to be, because our bodies adapt really easily.
Just a quick break, because I need to share this with you. In the past, I had a lot of pain in my shoulder, my knees, my ankle, and I know it's from my background of playing baseball. I used to be a carpenter, from driving, and even working on my computer. I tried everything, and still, I'd be on the couch with my heating pad in pain. Well, lately, a friend introduced me to a new product called NutraSwish. Things changed for me. I'm not kidding you, within days, no pain. And now I've been taking it for a few months, and what a difference. NutraSwish is all about glutathione. I didn't even know what glutathione was. Well, you know what? I sure do now. If you are experiencing pain, especially nerve damage, I encourage you to take a look. You can find out more in the show notes or go to www.therelaxationlounge.info, and there's a tab above that says pain. Back to the show. Well, now, what can we do when we are feeling stressed? Are there any methods or any sort of tips and techniques that we can do to change that?
Yeah, definitely. So my favorite way to do this is something that I call active meditation. So it's really just a way to be present and in the moment. Oftentimes our stress is happening because our minds are in five different places. So we're having a conversation or recording a podcast and we're thinking about what's for dinner. Did I put the food away? Like all of these other things, which creates a lot of anxiety and mental fatigue and stress on our bodies. And so having this active meditation is really a way for you to be present and in the moment. And it's one of the simplest things you can do. It's really just incorporating the five senses. What can I see? What can I hear? What can I smell? What can I taste? And what can I touch? So using the example, if I was trying to do this while I was having a conversation with you, I'd be like, okay, I can see Denise's face in front of me. I can see out of my peripheral. I can see the calendar on my wall. I can touch the wood of my desk and the cushions on my chair. I can smell the candle that I have burning. I can see my plants in front of me, right? I just had lunch, so maybe I can taste the potato chips that I had, right? I can feel the cushion behind me. And so it's really just about noticing those things. The common concern, I guess, I will be presented with is like, well, then if I'm paying attention to that, then I'm not paying attention to the conversation that's happening or what's in front of me. And actually, it's quite the opposite. When you just start paying attention to those close things, it zaps you back into the moment if your mind was wandering. And so you can do this both in the bedroom. So like while you're having sex, you can also do this outside of the bedroom. And what that does is it really brings down those stress levels that you're having, because you're noticing, ideally, you're in a safe environment, nothing's happening, there's no lions around, there's no fires burning, and your body's going to be able to regulate itself in that way.
So you mentioned that you teach women how to have mind-blowing sex. Can you share some of your techniques or your tips with us?
Yeah, definitely. So what we just talked about is actually one of the first pillars. So that's exciting. So I talk about it in terms of three pillars. So communication, understanding your body, and rest and rejuvenation, which the whole conversation that we just had kind of wraps up into that rest and rejuvenation piece. So I'll actually start there to complete that pillar, and then I can go into the other two. So rest and rejuvenation is really just about allowing your body to rest. That includes reducing your stress levels, completing those stress cycles. Rejuvenation is kind of like filling your tank. So I always use a car analogy to differentiate between rest and rejuvenation. So resting is like your car's parked outside. Maybe it's in the garage. It's not going anywhere. It's fine and dandy. It's not doing anything. So that's kind of what you can do to rest. You can, that doesn't mean that you have to lay on the couch and do nothing, although you can, but you're not working, your mind is not thinking about work, you're maybe not thinking about the kids and all of their activities, you're giving yourself kind of like a break. Whereas rejuvenation would be the equivalent of putting gas in your car, or it would be maybe like taking it for maintenance or something like that, getting the oil changed, adding more fluid into the car. And so rejuvenation for us would be something like actually sleeping a good 6 to 8 hours of quality sleep, right? Maybe that's hydrating yourself. Maybe that's actually sitting down to have lunch rather than just eating really fast while you're at your desk or something like that. So it's really just about refueling your body in a way that it needs to survive. So that's part of it. And all of that ties into having mind-blowing sex. If you're overworked, if you're overtired, if you're super stressed, like we already talked about, you're not going to want to have sex. And if you do have sex, it's not going to be as enjoyable. And for many people, especially women, if they are not regularly getting the rest and rejuvenation that they need, they're not going to orgasm either. So that's the rest and rejuvenation pillar. The understanding your body pillar is really just understanding what your turns on and your turns off are. Like, what do you like? What do you not like? How can you get more of what you like? How can you get less of what you don't like? And also paying attention to your body. So I always say, especially for moms, they often know their baby's bodies, like infants, so well. They're like, oh, this birthmark, yeah, it's been there. This mole, they know everything, but they know next to nothing about their own bodies. And they've been in their own bodies for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. So really getting to know your body, knowing your cycle, knowing what's normal for you in terms of smell and function and all of those things. I always tell my clients that even if I want them to have sex, but even if they never had sex again, knowing their body is going to be one of the best things that they could do for themselves. Because when they go to the doctor, it's a way for them to advocate for themselves. And so knowing your body is also a way for you to advocate for yourself in the bedroom. And then the third pillar is communication, and particularly effective communication. So it's really about sharing from a you-centered perspective. So not like you're the only one that's important in the conversation, but really centering it around your experience. Like, hey, this is kind of like my perspective. This is what's going on for me. And then leaving it open for the other person to share their own experience. Because what oftentimes happens is we enter conversations and we say, well, you did this, and then I feel this way. And as humans, doesn't matter who you are, that is very, it feels like you're being attacked. And so it can be really helpful to be like, from my perspective, this is what's going on. And also providing a potential solution, keyword potential, right? I think that this is one way we could kind of work around this. What do you think? And also being open to having a dialogue about that potential solution.
That's wonderful. Now, for someone that's listening, and I love that idea of getting to know your body, what steps can someone take to get that process started? Because some of us do it, some of us don't.
Yeah.
I mean, I know for myself, it's like, what's this on my body? What's that over there? But for someone who's never done that before, are there any steps that they can take to start getting to know their body?
Yeah, definitely. I always feel like this sounds very cliche, but it's my favorite thing in the world, is a mirror exercise. So it's really just getting a full-length mirror and actually looking at your body and noticing things in the same way that you would observe, presumably, your pet's body or like your baby's body and being like, well, what is that? Like, is that supposed to be there? Right? Noticing not only looks, but touch. Your body has textures. Is there a lump there? Right? Like, getting really clear on what is normal for you, because even what is normal for like the mass majority of people may not be normal for you, and it's important to know that. So, full-length mirror exercise, I love that. I also love using a pocket mirror to get really clear on your genitalia, because the way that you look at yourself in a full-length mirror in terms of genitalia in a pocket mirror is going to be two different views. Some of us, but I wear glasses, so I mean it's a lot of a closer view, and you can get a lot more details that way. And so really just paying attention and looking at yourself. Noticing another way is like noticing your smell, like any time that you're getting undressed, I guess like getting in the shower, stuff like that. Noticing, paying attention how that relates also to your cycle and what that looks like, and hormonal fluctuations and things like that is a great start. And you don't even have to dive into the sexual piece of it to start out. It's really just about noticing what is going on in your body.
And I love that, but I just want to take it one step further. We're not just looking for moles or spots or what's going on here, but it's also taking that appreciation of our body, loving ourselves in the mirror.
Yeah.
These are my legs, these are my boobs, you know,
Yeah.
that self-expression love towards our body, which is important rather
Yeah,
than just
definitely.
what's this dot and what's that?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and I love this idea of like doing this exercise regularly, right? Like it's not a one and done. It's kind of like a I was gonna say like a scavenger hunt, but it's really just really getting familiar and intimate with your body. And the more that you look at it, the more you are going to appreciate it. It's going to be like quote unquote normal, because oftentimes what happens is we hide the parts of us that we don't like. And then when we do end up looking at it, inevitably, we're like almost like shocked, like we didn't know it was there. Whereas if we are presented with it regularly, there comes some form of like appreciation eventually, but it all starts with actually looking at it in the first place.
Yes, looking at it with loving eyes. Now
Yes.
we're going to wrap this up. So, Anna, are there some words of wisdom that you can leave the audience today?
Yeah, definitely. So I would say paying attention to the things that you already like and the things that you already know about your body. I hear so many people come to me that tell me like, "Well, I don't know what I like, and I have to have sex like 100 times or like whatever in order to figure out what it is that I like. I don't know anything about my body. I don't know where to start. It can be very overwhelming, but I can guarantee you there's at least 10 things that you already know about your body and its functionality, what it looks like. There's also already things you like about your body. I really like this idea of looking at yourself, how you mentioned, and you know, what is it that I like? In loving eyes, you said, what are 10 things that I already love or maybe even like about myself? And what are 10 things that I know that I like that feel good? So that could be, I don't know, I like when my arm is caressed. That can count, and you can bring that in the bedroom. It doesn't have to necessarily be sex focused, but that doesn't mean that you can't bring it into the bedroom. So 10 things that you like slash love about your body, 10 things that you know about your body, and 10 things that you enjoy that are pleasurable to you in terms of, you know, sexual gratification.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for that. And it was wonderful. I mean, sex is such an important part of our lives. And so I will be putting all her information, her contact information, wherever you're watching or reading this. And if you have any questions, please reach out and ask. So thank you so much for your time today, Anna. It was
Of course.
wonderful. Now, just a quick note, if there is a stress-related topic you would like me to cover, please reach out and let me know. I can be reached at www.therelaxationlounge.info. And my social media handles are the same, The Relaxation Lounge. Now, leaving you a gentle reminder to slow down and enjoy life, and I'll see you in the next episode.
Thank you for listening to the Calm Your Daily Stress podcast. Have you ever wondered what your stress personality is? Are you a self-care goddess or a burnout queen? Well, you can find out by taking my free quiz. You just need to go to www.stressquiz.info to find out where you rank. Sending you love and peace, and I'll see you in the next episode.